Good evening.
Hi. So,
how you doing, Philip?
Good.
Hold on one second. Let's give it a minute before we start. Please join me in saying the Anabaco. Anabaco. Gedula Chimi. Chapati. Erura. All of the Gimel Yutat Sadi. Kabel Rinat. Return them to our body where they will act again in their pristine state. They're just perfectly. Bachem tacharem rachame sitatam dami dami. And the letters of the month of Av, the Kaf that created the sun, the pit, the creator of the constitution, Aria, Leo the lion. Aria has a gematria of 216, which is the number of letters in the 72 names of God, and also the Sephirah of Gevurah, power and strength, as well as judgment. Pasin Kadosh, Zero to Tama, Nael Adata,
Adata,
Ketufet, Tetnunayan, Yahid Gea, Lampante, So Great, Yidu Shapa, Yidgim Alamate, Zion Kuf. Shabbatenu Kabel, Shabbatenu, so dea salut. Shem Kufav, Sadi Yotav. And the, since it's, we no longer have to do the connection for the meditation, please join me in saying the eighth verse in a whisper. I'm reading from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Vayechanan, verse number 6. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yedeinu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yedeinu Kononehu. Kada te tzafra bae, benaka a nefger me, kikola umnae zan, zayne le ishtadla, im malka kadisha, deha kalilya ishtadala, sematronita hashta, Atya in matronita lezavgala in malka. When morning comes, one should clean himself in every respect, the cleanliness of both body and soul. Put on his arms, namely the tzitzit and the tefillin, and endeavor by the holy kings thereon pinned, since at night he endeavored by the queen. Now in the morning he comes with the queen to join her to the king. This section is talking about midnight. It's talking about going into the garden to study with Hashem. And this verse is speaking how we study Torah day and night, or night and day. This verse is speaking of actions that need to be done in the morning or when we awake before we go into the garden. When we awake at midnight, we need to wash our hands. We need to put on the tzitzit. We need to put on the saying tefillin as well, and that is only done according to the rabbinical pronouncements. That's only done as we get close to sunrise. But all of this process is really describing to us and reminding us to study Torah, to stay connected to Hashem day and night. Does anybody have any questions? The handout tonight is available in the Advanced Reincarnation series classes. It's available in the 11th row of the matrix that's on the Revealed Wisdom page. And when you open that and scroll down to class number 19, which is what today's class is, it just amazes me that we've done 19 of these classes, and we have a good 200 more to go. There's so much information here. It really is beautiful. But if you click on the handout under class 19, which is handout number 12, and we're starting Chapter 6, Section 1, Bringing Down New Souls. Now we will discuss the idea of how old souls, which we have already discussed somewhat in the fifth gate, the gate of mitzvot, regarding the mitzvah sending away the mother bird. We will also explain the origin of the root of souls. Just to give you a brief, quick explanation, in the parasha of Ki Tetzeh, there's a mitzvah of sending away the mother bird before you pick the eggs out of a bird's nest. And in the that is explained in Kabbalah as dealing with Bina, the Sefirah Bina. It has a significant mystical elements. And part of that is the idea of the new and the old souls. Continuing to read, these words are a general introduction. In the source mentioned, the Gate of Mitzvot, there is a section that is directly relevant to the subjects that are covered in this chapter. Before we actually begin to get involved in what is being taught in this chapter, It is necessary to explain the concept of back-to-back and face-to-face unifications. Now, these are terms used in Kabbalah, panim, la panim, face-to-face, or achrit, la achrit, back-to-back. These are Kabbalistic terms that have significant meanings in Kabbalah. Two partsufim. Now, partsuf is a face in plural. Partsufim in the Arizal's Kabbalah, a partsufim is a structure of 10 sefirot. And by having 10 sefirot, it's a complete structure. Now, there's a complete structure of creation. There's a complete structure of a human being. Is creation and a human being the same thing? In one sense, they're not. And in another sense, they are. Because as below, so above. So we see how we can start to unify things, but at the same time perceive them as separated. The two parts of theme that are on the same level are destined to unite with each other. This is a spiritual law. Two people on the same level of consciousness are going to eventually unite with each other. Meaning, if you're thinking about the same subject, if you go to a university to study architecture, and another person comes to that university to study architecture, you're going to unite with each other. Maybe you'll also compete with each other, but there's a level of being united in the concept of competition, and that's one of the teachings and understandings and developments that we learn from the concept, the tool called binding by striking. How does something get bound together? By hitting. How, by competing with each other, do we unite with each other? The nature of their unification depends on several factors. One of the most important is the amount and quality of Mayim Nukvim that are raised by the lower beings to the feminine aspect of the uniting supernal couple. Normally, we raise Mayim Nukvim from the Klipot to Malchut of Atzilut by the performance of mitzvot, the study of Torah, and prayer. Malchut of Atzilut is none other than the Nukva of Zeranpin, which is the consort of Zeranpin. Initially, she and Zeranpin stand back to back. The reason for this will be briefly explained with the help of God in section 2 of this chapter. As a result of the merit that is being accrued by our mitzvot, Torah and prayer, they are able to turn to face each other face to face. Of course, in order to unite, they must be face to face. And the unification that takes place at that time is called the unification of face to face. Zivug panim bepanim. However, what happens if sufficient Mayim Nukvim has not been raised and they cannot turn towards each other face to face? The lower couple has ascended to the place of the higher couple in order to unite there. It sometimes happens that the supernal couple will unite even though sufficient Mayim Nukvim has not been raised. In such a case, the higher couple, Abba and Ima, will raise Mayim Nukvim for them. The unification of that ensues is not called the unification of Zeranpin and his Nukva, but the unification of Abba and Ima. However, this is really not an ascent because it is entirely incomplete. It is as if they have united mentally without physical completion. or it might be compared to two very young children sleeping in their parents' bed. This type of unification is called unification of back to back, zivug achor b'achor. Indeed, this is what takes place in special cases of divine intervention, when insufficient mayim nukvim has been aroused. This is actually what happened when Adam, the first man, was created. You can see this in the relevant verses themselves. God did not cause rain upon the earth, and there was no man to work the land. A mist went up from the earth to water all the face of the land, and God formed the man from dust of the land. Rashi explains that God did not cause rain upon the earth because there was no one to pray for it. Therefore, the end of the verse states that there was no man to work the land. Adam was created by an act initiated from above. In other words, there wasn't anyone to raise Mayan Nukvim from below for the unification of Zeron Pin and the Nukva. Consequently, the Mayan Nukvim that was necessary was raised, seemingly on its own. A mist went up from the earth. Thus, Adam was created by an act initiated from above, because there was no one to arouse it by the raising of Mayim Nukvim from below. In summary, the unification of back-to-back takes place when there is an insufficient elevating of Mayim Nukvim from below. The parts of Fim are not really in a condition to unify, and the unification is accomplished on a level other than their real level. In contrast, unification of face-to-face is the normal situation. It takes place when there is a sufficient arousal of Mayim Nukvim from below to above. When all the worlds were created, even the world of Atzilut, they were brought into being by the unification of back-to-back. Afterwards, they turned to come into being in the aspect of face-to-face. There is reason to think that the world of Atzilut was not brought into being by the unification of back-to-back, but only by face-to-face. In fact, even Atzilut was first brought into being by the unification of back-to-back. Moreover, it is the same worlds that are first brought into being by the unification of back-to-back that are brought into being anew by the unification of face-to-face. This is also true of the souls of humanity. At first, they came into being in the aspect of back-to-back. These souls were born into the world by the unification of back-to-back. There are those among them who have already been reborn by the unification of face-to-face. The others will yet undergo that tikkun, that correction. My commentary. We need to understand these Kabbalistic concepts of face-to-face and back-to-back, both as a process and as a stage of creation. I plan to duplicate this section of Chapter 6 after we have studied Section 2. As mentioned above. This is so that we can connect to the idea of back-to-back and face-to-face. You may have heard that Adam and Eve were created unified in a back-to-back mode, and then Hashem built Eve from Adam's rib and turned them to be two separate individuals who are able to unify through a mechanism of face-to-face. This is considered the missionary position of sexual intercourse. Until we understand these concepts, we cannot understand this fully, or even participate in the full pleasure of sexual intercourse with our spouses or our partners. This is a teaching of the Kabbalah which is usually not shared with many students, since most people take offense to the idea that they do not know how to do the bringing of children in a proper Kabbalistic way. You may also have heard of the idea of bringing high and righteous souls using Kabbalistic meditations. These techniques and these tools are all related to these concepts. Continuing to read from the Ari and Rabbi Chaim Vital, a righteous tzaddik can draw out a new soul. However, from the time of Adam until the arrival of Mashiach, the correction, the tikkun, will be to renew those souls that were originally back to back so that they can emerge from the aspect of faced and they can emerge from back to back and join the aspect of face to face. My commentary. The above paragraph is describing in words that are a bit concealed the renewal of the souls on Rosh Hashanah. We must also realize that just as Adam and Eve were created back to back, each year on Rosh Hashanah, your soul is created again, as new, through this mechanism of back to back. The purpose of the 22 days of holidays in Tishrei is to build the actions of Mayim Nukvim so that your personal creation will be considered face-to-face. This will be discussed during our preparations for the high holidays that will start after the holiday of Tu B'Av. After they were created back-to-back, they descended with the Shekhinah into exile among the Klipot. However, a righteous tzaddik, through an absolutely good intention, can draw out a new soul. The new soul mentioned here is actually the renewed soul that was at first back-to-back and has now been turned face-to-face. That is the main point of the Rav throughout this section. However, what is absolutely good intention that can accomplish this renewal? What is an absolutely good intention that can accomplish this renewal? My energy is a bit weak because I have not yet broken the fast. So I'm mispronouncing some words and I apologize. I'm misreading some words and I apologize for that. Continuing, the word intention is the standard translation of the word used in the original Hebrew text, kavanah. A better translation for kavanah is meditation. It means the internal and the highest level of prayer. Sometimes it has been called meditative prayer. I would have a different or a more expanded definition of Kavanah, and will do so when we discuss preparation for the high holidays. Besides the quality of the intention itself, there are other elements that come into effect. For example, when is it happening? On Shabbat or during the week? Who is doing it? In this case, the Rav says that it is a righteous tzaddik. The intention must also be supercharged with the merit of Torah and mitzvot and must be done with awareness and total simplicity. As it is written, God is close to all those who call upon him in truth. Truth is an aspect of simplicity. As one of the explanations for why someone shouldn't lie is that they have to remember the lie, where the truth is already known and doesn't have to really be remembered. It just gets spoken about. In other words, Through this intention, a soul can ascend from the Klipot to be renewed in the secret of, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is a verse from Lamentations that we just read today. The soul that is being elevated from the Klipot by the person's intentions was originally created from the unification of back to back. It is finally raised to a place where it will be renewed, recreated, and brought into being anew by the unification of face to face. Afterwards, it will descend from the aspect of face to face into this world. It will be the beginning of its existence, and it will be called new. These souls are predisposed in such a way as to not sin like other souls. Other souls who are the secret of back-to-back when they enter into bodies are likely to become involved in sin. These new souls, however, are so full of light and spiritual power that they are predisposed not to sin at all when they enter into this world. My commentary. Do you see how the use of the term new soul has the opposite meaning in Kabbalah than in New Age teachings? How do you think this happens? How do you think this happened? Is it coincidence? Or is it the work of Satan to create a longer process? How do you think misusing and misunderstanding vocabulary creates a longer process? How can you stop this from happening? These are rhetorical questions, but they are meant for you to consider, meditate upon, and take into your life to make changes in your life. Section 2. Two types of new souls. And I think we're going to find that we're only going to be able to read Section 2 and not go back to Section 1, but we will do that next time. We will return to Section 1 and fully understand it. There is so much information that's going to be revealed in Section 2. And that information applies to so many areas of our lives. Please remember that Briah Yetzirah and Asiyah, or the BYA, means the worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Creation, formation, and action. These are the three lower worlds corresponding to the Sephirot of Binah, Zeranpin, and Malchut. At this stage in history, and most of us don't think of our lives as being history, but they are. They're part of the world history. Our personal life and our previous lives are all part of history. We only have the ability to draw new souls from Biyah, which are of the Neshama, the Ruach, and the Nefesh, as is known. Biyah is the abbreviation for the worlds of Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. They correspond to Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh, respectively, as is known. It is only these levels of the soul body of Adam that can emerge as new souls until the time of the resurrection of the dead. However, in the future, after the resurrection of the dead, higher, new souls will descend from the world of Atzilut. They will be from the Atzilut level of the soul of Adam, which is called Zehira Ila'ah, the upper emanation, as we will explain in future discussions. This is the secret of what is written in the Zohar. From the time the temple was destroyed, souls have not entered the sanctuary of love, the Heichal of Ha'ahava. The Ari will now give this teaching of the Zohar a unique interpretation based on the topic at hand. I have a commentary. At the end of this section, and my commentary of this section, I have pasted the Zohar Pekudei section 50, as mentioned above. This is for your study to see how the Arizal perceives things differently than other people when he read and studied the Zohar. New souls that are born from the unification of face-to-face from Atzilut have not entered there, the sanctuary of love. However, new souls from Biyah can come into that place, even in these days after the destruction of the temple. All the other souls that come into the world were included in the soul body of Adam after he was created by the unification of back-to-back. Since Zun are back-to-back, the Klipot are afraid to approach her face. Zun means Zeron Pin Venukva. Zun. Zion Vav Nun. It's the abbreviation, the first letters. Zeron Pin and Nukva. Zeron Pin and Malchut. They need to be separated from the aspect of back-to-back and turned to be face-to-face. Zeron Pin and Nukva, which is abbreviated Zun, are originally manifested back-to-back, as mentioned previously. The Ari explains the reason for this. The Klipot want to suck light and nourishment from the Nukva. She is susceptible to them because she does not contain great light in the first place, and her feet go down to death, a verse from Proverbs. If Zun were face to face, then the back of Nukva would be exposed, and the Klipot would be able to take hold there, God forbid. Since Zun are back to back, and her face is projected outward, the Klipot are afraid to approach her face. Also, when they are back-to-back, they are joined together with one back, like what is found sometimes among Siamese twins. Because they are joined together by one back, the Klipot cannot insinuate themselves between them to attack the back of the Nukva. The Klipot suck when there is a little bit of light, and when there is a lot of light, it is their nemesis. When Zun receives greater light from above, then the threat from the Klipot is diminished. It is then possible to expose her back and allow them to turn face to face in order to accomplish the unification of face to face. However, since they were joined by one back, in order to turn face to face, a process that the Ari has compared to surgery must separate them. Specifically, Zeron Pin must receive sufficient light from above to enable the shared back to double, one for him and one for her. Then they are separated, sephirah by sephirah, until they are two separate independent parts of Fim. This is the first stage of the process called Nesira, the separation. It is a very important concept in the Lurianic Kabbalah. He gives her light and builds her up until they are both face to face. Nesira plays an especially important role in the intentions of the weekday meditative prayer. In the word be'ahava, meaning in love, which appears in the first blessing of the Amidah, the standing prayer. Zeron Pin began with a lot of light, and Nukva with only a little. During Nesira, he gives her his light, and she receives an additional enormous amount from above. At that time, he is asleep, like an anesthetized person in an operation. He is dormant, nearly non-existent. At the end of the Nesira, the separation, he receives once again an influx of light directly from above. She is diminished again and is then opposite his face and not connected to his back. Little by little, throughout the rest of the prayer, he gives her light and builds her up until they are both face to face, receiving more or less equally from above, and ready for the unification of face to face. This is what it means Kabbalistically to be in love, be'ahava. It seems that the Ari has deliberately made this allusion because of his explanation of the teachings of the Zohar concerning the sanctuary of love. Since the old souls from the level of Biyah can enter the sanctuary of love, they can be separated and turned towards each other to enable the unification of face to face that will give birth to them anew. The souls of Atzilut, however, cannot enter this sanctuary of love at this time in history. In summary, all old souls come from him, from Adam. All old souls come from the soul body of Adam. New souls do not come from him, specifically because they are new, as if they were never in the world before. Old souls from Biyah can be elevated, renewed, and reborn as new souls, even in this period after the destruction of the temple, until the resurrection of the dead. New souls from the level of Atzilut will only come into the world after the resurrection. My commentary. Why are the Klipa afraid? It is not explained, only hinted. The face of the Nukva has more light than the back of the Nukva. The Klipa sense that this light is too strong for it to exist. That is the meaning of fear in a spiritual concept. Does this apply to the meaning of fear in the physical world? A rhetorical question. While reading this, did you utilize the metaphors and examples to picture in your mind this process? Remember, these descriptions are metaphorical. In order to make this work, Adam must first fall asleep or enter the stage called dormita, sleeping. Now, in this stage, Adam, Zeron Pin, transfers light to the Nukva. The light starts with the mental light of the Gimel Rishonot Sefirot, the upper three. You may have heard that Adam receives the Mochin, the brains of the female, which he transfers to her. Or in more physical terms, a man does not have a Malchut. His wife is his Malchut, and she receives her Mochin from him. Stop reacting as this is dealing with the feminist and chauvinist issues, and strive to understand this from the frame of the Sefirot and a spiritual process of Sefirot. Now, it is probably still unclear what is face-to-face and back-to-back. The ideas of additional light being given both to Malchut and Zeron Pin in the sections above are not truly clear yet. Yet we have sufficient information to realize how this process occurs. I am going to pay Section 1 for additional study. I suggest you move back and forth between these two sections until you have a comfort level that you understand the concepts of back-to-back, face-to-face, dormita, and nesira. You will find the Hebrew words helpful to permutate to assist in this process of understanding. You will also be using the concept of alternating consciousness as taught in Class 6 of the Sefer Yetzirah class. I then give you the four Hebrew words. But I also caution you, I have been trying to find these words spelled either in Hebrew and or Aramaic and have been unsuccessful as of yet. Please understand that these terms are in the Aramaic of the Zohar, which is a completely different dialect from the Talmud. I could not find these words, so I've given them to you as best I can. Now, what's pasted below is the Zohar, verse by verse, that was mentioned earlier. I'm not going to read them. I'm recommending you read them. I'm not going to read them into the recording. I'm scrolling down. Chapter 6, Section 3 starts with a commentary of my that I made. And I said earlier I wasn't going to read Section 3, but we do have enough time left because I'm not reading the Zohar. This section is an interruption. Section 3 is an interruption, but not really, as the Ari is well aware of the way the human being learns and processes information that potentially becomes wisdom. The Talmud is written in the same way. The Zohar is written in the same way. It doesn't process subjects logically. It processes them in a way that is best able to be learned by the human mind and the human being. It's a process called running and returning, and I discuss it in class number 8 of the Sefer Yetzirah course. This section is an interruption between the previous section dealing with back-to-back creation and the next section dealing with the process of transforming face to become face-to-face. The body and soul of Adam divides into 248 limbs, just as does the body. In addition, there are other aspects, such as the countless hairs that hang from his body. My commentary. Hair is a spiritual item that must be understood in a spiritual context. At the end of this section, I will have a small essay touching on this subject. Later in the Gate of Reincarnation, we will go into greater details on this subject. The Rav is referring to the spiritual counterpart of the body hair, not just limbs, but even incidental aspects, such as the spiritual counterparts of body hair, may be the root of souls. All the sparks of the individual souls in this world are from these aspects that are within the atom. All of the specific souls and levels of souls that will later enter bodies born from atom are called soul roots and are drawn from these aspects of atom. Concerning each and every limb, it is exactly as the sages understood the verse, "Where were you when I founded the earth?" A famous verse from Job. This was discussed at length in chapter 3, section 2. The Hebrew words, "Where were you?" can also be construed to mean a lifeless lump. The roots of all the souls that would descend from Adam were implanted within him. When Adam was only a lifeless lump, God breathed into him a living soul. At that time, the roots of all the souls that would descend from Adam were implanted within him. And I will remind you that the word Adam, the Hebrew word Adam, which means humankind, the human species, mankind, was created male and female back to back. So when we say Adam, when we say mankind, we are referring to both men and women. When Job complains about his lot, God says to him, "Where were you when I founded the earth?" In other words, if you do not know the root of your soul and where you were in the soul body of Adam when I breathed into him a living soul, then you do not know your own history. And if this is so, how can you complain about what happens to you? This is an amazing statement, an amazing teaching. I will leave you to contemplate it for yourself. I'm continuing. We have already explained that most souls are from Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam. This statement is problematic, since there are several places in the writings of the Ari himself that seem to contradict it. See, for example, the B'nai Aaron, the children of Aaron. From that time onward, they have since divided among all people ever born. Even though we won't explain this concept in detail now, since this is not the place to do so, we will provide an example of what it means. For example, suppose that Abel is the aspect of the head of all the souls. Then Abel would be the root of all the individual sparks of human souls that come from the aspect of the head. This type of Kabbalistic conception was discussed in the extended note to chapter 5, section 5, Connected Levels of Soul. Likewise, if our patriarch Abraham was the right arm of Adam, then all the individual sparks that belong to the right arm of Adam are included in Abraham. He will be considered the root of all of them. It is the same for every limb and hair of the soul of Adam. However, this is not the place for this discussion. But there's a lot of hints in this, what I've just read. My commentary. This is the promised discussion about the spiritual aspect of hair. Initially, there are a few paragraphs taken from an essay by Joseph Y. Jacobson, a well-known speaker and writer on the subject of Kabbalah and Chassidut. His orientation is directly related to the Chabad organization. The Kabbalah of Hair. So how does Jewish mysticism view the significance of hair? Hair acts as straws, transmitting profound and inaccessible energy. Each strand of hair, shaped like a straw, which is the form of the Hebrew letter Vav, communicates a level of soul energy that, due to its intensity, cannot be communicated directly, only through the straw of hair. Through the contracted and curtailed medium of hair, which dilutes the intense energy. Now, the Kabbalah distinguishes between fine hair and coarse hair. The fine hair decorating the cranium, present immediately during birth, and the coarse hair of the beard, appearing only at a male's entry into adulthood. The hair that links the fine and the coarse are the peyot, the hair extending from the skull down the jawbone, after which it merges with the beard. The hair growing on top of the cranium, the fine hair, represents the deeply concealed energy stemming from the interior of the skull, identified by Kabbalah as the location for the superconscious formations of the human psyche. The deepest and most primal forces of our psyche, the suprarational desires and cravings of the soul, formulated even prior to the birth of cognition, are associated in Jewish mysticism with the skull, defined as the crown over the brain, or simply as Keter, which means the crown. Keter is seen as the most lofty and elevated part of the soul. It's linked to God, who also transcends reason and logic. The hair of the male beard, on the other hand, the coarse hair, represents the energy stemming from the subconscious cognitive impressions of the human psyche, located within the higher and lower brain. This dimension of the human soul is known in Kabbalah as Mocha Stima'ah, or the hidden cognition, and stands one rung below the level of Keter. This is the mystical reason for the feminine body not developing a beard. As mentioned above, the mystical function of hair is to access in a contracted and curtailed fashion energy that is inaccessible due to its profundity. Women, however, are naturally more in tune with their subconscious cognition and therefore do not require the straws of hair to access that level of themselves. Before I can continue with my commentary on this, I mentioned that Rabbi Jacobson is connected to the Chabad organization. All of the Hasidim, starting with the Baal Shem Tov, but especially through the teachings of the Chabad and the Lubavitch organization, we find this connection to psychology. Psychology has always been part of Kabbalah, but it is most revealed through the teachings of the Hasidim in the last 250-300 years. My comment: the Arizal teaches above that the hair on Adam's body is a soul root source for various souls. In his commentaries on the Parashiyot, he relates additional information, which I am summarizing below. The Arizal teaches that there were 13 components of the hair in the beard and relates these to the 13 attributes of mercy, as taught in Sefer Shemot. He also indicates that there are 9 locations of hair on the body, which relates to the 9 components of hair, as taught in Sefer Bamidbar. Together, 13 plus 9 is 22. Thus, there is a relationship between these locations, these types of hair, and the Hebrew letters, and the types of soul roots. The Arizal explains that the hair of the beard is actually light of the soul that is extending down into the body. As it travels through the narrow place, the neck, not all of this light is able to descend. Thus, this light bursts through the skin and becomes the beard. This is due to the nature of light, which is to expand and to share itself. The same explanation applies to the hair on the body. Since the woman at the time of puberty does not have her own malchim, but receives this through the antenna of her head hair from the universe in general until she becomes married, and then starts to receive this energy from her husband. The Arizal teaches that this is the reason why a woman does not grow a beard, while a man does grow a beard. The Kabbalah teaches that the hair on the head of a woman is drawing the energy of judgment, while this is especially true during her period, since the blood indicates a period of judgment, since there was an opportunity to bring a child, which is a large revelation of life, that it was lost. The hair on the head of a man is drawing the energy of chesed, which is why the man wears his tefillin on his head. We're going to stop here. I'm sure you find this all interesting. I do. And I'd like to continue, but our hour is almost up. Are there any questions? I hope you all had an easy fast. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, the 3 weeks is over. We can move on to a very happy period. Not quite yet, but it's coming very soon. And we will discuss it over the next few weeks. The announcements for this week. Thursday will be a reading in the Zohar at 10 p.m. Sunday morning will be a preparation for Tu B'Av, a discussion of what the holiday of Tu B'Av represents, followed by a special connection, special class at 9 p.m. Sunday night. That is strongly and highly recommended that people attend and listen to many times by receiving the recording. Next Monday at 5 a.m., there is a class in the Sefer Yetzirah. Next Monday at 5:30 p.m. is the basic class continues in the Tool of Binding by Striking, Part 2. And at 8:30 p.m., we again are starting the class of the Esther Sefirot, the 10 Sefirot, the commentary, the rearrangement of the Etz Chaim by Rabbi Ashlag, and his commentary, which is really truly amazing revelations and highly recommended to start at the beginning with us this coming Monday. Are there any questions? Have a beautiful breaking of your fast if you have not yet done so, and have a beautiful week. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.